KB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, I send you." Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
I'm not going to do anything humorous. Somebody wrote to me and said that they... really, we're happy last week we didn't do that lame humor.
Oh, that was me that wrote that letter.
Oh, I knew somebody did that.
And the doctors are in the house, and we have a great guest, Dr. Palmer.
We do, Dr. Rhonda Sherman. Rhonda, are you there?
Yes, I am there.
Welcome, Dr. Rhonda. Welcome, welcome indeed.
Well, I feel very honored to be on your show.
And vice versa.
And we are certainly honored to have you, and when we... You know, we learned of your background and your accomplishments. It's like, oh, my God. What'd you write, 50 books? And
I'm up to 70 now, dear.
Oh, she's up to 70, Palmer.
70.
Oh.
Okay, good.
And here I am, a meek 5 books. Wow, God bless you. Okay, so, John, you have any thoughts that you want to ask Rhonda?
Rhonda, how did you really get out of being a Jewish person who is atheist who becomes Catholic? How did that ever happen?
Oh, well, my story, the reason I love to tell my story, well, there are many reasons I love to tell my story.
And our listeners love to hear those stories of conversions.
Yes, but especially I just want to greet my dear Jesus who is here with us.
Absolutely.
And Jesus, you saved me from the pits of hell. And one of the reasons I love to tell the story on radio is that many of the listeners would never have the guts to approach a person like me to tell them about Jesus.
Okay.
See, because people like me, even though we're trembling inside, and at the time of my conversion, I was ready to kill myself.
Ooh.
On the outside, I would look full of brain, smarts, bravado, all this facade.
You look like Tony.
Well, actually, I'm still like that, but at least I've saved.
You got to get used to us,
Rhonda. My dear friend, Dr. Palmer, that's why I love him so.
Oh, wait, was that lame humor again? I'm sorry, Rhonda, go ahead.
He interrupts
so
a lot.
So anyway,
go ahead.
So I do want to tell my story, and this story begins 77 years ago.
Wow.
When I was born.
God
because I was born in circumstances that are very unusual. Now, some of it's not unusual. It's not unusual that my parents weren't married. But what was unusual is not only did they meet in the Communist Party in New York City, but they had just left the Communist Party and became McCarthy informers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
How many people have that background?
Wow.
So the party was going to bomb our cradle. Our is, my mother was brought up as a total atheist. She had a Jewish background, but she never even talked about being Jewish. And she had been living the Cafe Society Paris lifestyle. She came to New York when she was 1 year old on a boat from Russia to Finland to Germany to New York City. Okay. And her parents were, this is very unusual, her parents were already left-wing atheists.
Mm.
See, now, so this atheism goes all the way back to the middle of the 19th century.
Wow.
Okay. So most of the Jews you know who say they were brought up atheists, they still went to synagogue on the high holidays, sort of like Easter and Christmas Catholics now.
Right. It's called hedging your bets.
You know, they knew something.
Yeah. Yep.
Not necessarily. Oh, okay. My experience with people who do that is that still a thread that's holding them to the church, and we ought to pull on the thread.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, the tendency I would have is to write them off.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay, so I didn't even know I was Jewish. On my father's side, he came from a very unusual background. Namely, his father was a Hispanic Jew from the island of Curacao, the Dutch island of Curacao. What happened was, in the Inquisition in Spain, a lot of the Jews fled to Holland. And then from Holland, people were exploring South America, Spanish people. And so these Jews went on the boats, landed in the island of Curacao, which is Dutch Spanish. Anyway, so his family was not, it's called Sephardic Jewish, which is Spanish Jewish, which is quite different from the usual type of Jew you think of in Poland, who was called an Ashkenazi Jew. In Poland, those Jews that you saw on Fiddler on the Roof are really different from Spanish Jews in different ways. But anyway, that's not what's so important. What's so important is they weren't practicing Judaism. They were these secret Jewish Masons that you hear about. Is that something?
That's amazing.
And the secret Jewish Masons in America imported bright young Spanish Jewish Masons to the United States, where they got degrees in dentistry at the University of Pennsylvania, and then were sent to New York to run the secret Jewish Masonic places. Now,
I don't know enough about Masons. I don't know enough. I know.
No one knows about them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, after I became a Catholic, when I heard about Jewish Masons, I thought, well, these are these awful people who love conspiracy theories and the anti-Semite rats, and I have to set them straight. So,
and you could, too.
So I asked my father, I said, you know, this is, my father's still an atheist, okay? So he's now 70 and I'm 50. So I say to my father, you know, it's something very crazy. There are all these Catholics who think that secret Jewish Masons run the world. And he laughed and he said, your grandfather was the head of the secret Jewish Masons in New York City.
Wow. Ay, ay, ay.
Is that something? Well, he is even more amazing, is while he was doing his internship in dentistry, along comes this patient, a dental patient, this beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed young woman, Quaker. And she sits in his chair, and they fall in love, and he marries her. And he agrees that any children will be brought up Christian. Now, she's not just a little Christian. This grandmother of ours was a total Christian from the heart. And she made her way up from Quaker to Presbyterian to Episcopal in New York City. But she read scripture all the time, prayed all the time, went to church all the time, all right? So here's my father. He doesn't think of himself as Jewish because the Jewish Masons didn't talk Jewish. They didn't go to synagogue or anything. He has this mother who's a total Christian. He goes to Presbyterian Church. It's time for confirmation. He walks down the aisle and he says loudly, "I don't believe in God," turns around and walks out of the church.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Interesting.
So now, is this a soap opera? So now you have these two meeting in the Communist Party, my father and my mother, both of whom have Jewish ancestry but never think of themselves as Jews. Okay, they think of themselves as atheists. And in fact, we little girls, we didn't know we were Jewish until we're in public school in New York City. The school is 95% Jewish, okay? These are the kids of Jewish immigrants that came over during between the two wars. So here we are in 1945, and in the school on Jewish holidays, no one is there except five people, one Protestant, us, and two Catholics who probably their parents were married outside the church, so they didn't go to Catholic school. And the whole neighborhood, however, where we live is like West Side Story. It's Irish gangs and Puerto Rican gangs. Okay, this is the Upper West Side. So we're going to this school, and we have never even heard of God, okay? So these Irish Catholic bullies used to stop people on the street, kids on the street. You know, they were teenagers. So these smart alecks liked to stop people and ask if they were Jewish and then beat them up. So this little group surrounded myself and my twin sister, and they said, "Are you Jewish?" We said, "No, we didn't know we were Jewish." Then they said, "Are you Catholic?" We didn't even know what it meant. "No." "Are you Protestant?" We said, "No." They said, "What are you?" We said, "Atheist." They didn't know what it meant, so they let us go.
I can't believe Irish people would do that.
Oh, my gosh. My association with Catholics.
Listen, we need to cut to the chase. We need to find out, how did you come to Jesus? Because we'll run out of time.
Oh, all right. I thought I had an hour.
No.
Oh, okay. Many, many other things will be on the show. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm brought up as an atheist. I think that there's no meaning to life. I'm a philosophy student. I can't find truth or love. I'm having love affairs, but there's no love. I can't find truth. I'm studying philosophy. I can't find truth. So by 21, I'm ready to kill myself because I say, why live just to suffer?
Mm-hmm.
And then these miracles happened. So the first miracle is my mother is never watched TV in the afternoon. She turns on the TV, and there's Dietrich and Alice von Hildebrandt.
Oh, boy.
Doing a talk show, an interview. And they're talking about goodness and truth and love. So I write them a letter, and I say, I've been looking for truth and love. I can't find it. Can you help me? So they took me over. I switched from Johns Hopkins, a big scholarship at Johns Hopkins University, to study philosophy, and I went to Fordham University.
Hooray.
And they could refute skepticism and relativism in one sentence. So they were just terrific. Now, I was brought up to think all religious people are stupid or weak or both, but these were the most brilliant people I had ever met.
The wonderful philosophers.
And they were also very loving. They took me in like a daughter into their household. There was a whole circle of people. They were German refugees who came over because they were anti-Hitler.
Yeah.
And so they came over to the United States to teach philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So they took me over. And then I had these amazing experiences. They went on, they ran Catholic art tours in Europe in the summer. So I went on this Catholic art tour, and there, this picture of Jesus turned alive and looked at me. And then that same face that same expression in his face in this picture, which is Raphael's Miraculous Catch of Fishes, by the way, if you're interested in finding it. Some of you might want to look up. You can Google it. It's very famous. And then we saw Pope Pius XII in the square in Rome, and his face when he was praying with the crippled people in wheelchairs had the same expression. So this caught my attention. And so then I started reading the basic books that everybody reads, you know, who wants to convert, especially from an atheist background. C.S. Lewis, who didn't become a Catholic, but was probably the biggest Christian apologist.
Do you read his Screwtape Letters?
Oh, of course, everything, but especially Mere Christianity, where he says, look, you can't say Jesus is a good guy. A good guy doesn't say he's God, so he's either a liar or he's insane or he's really divine. So that argument really grabbed me. And then I read Newman and Augustine and all these great people. So by 21, I became a Catholic. And then my twin sister became a Catholic 2 years afterwards. My mother became a Catholic 20 years afterwards. And my husband also became a Catholic. He was from a Jewish background, and he became a Catholic.
Wow, you really evangelized, boy.
Call from Jesus through that picture, and then look what you did in your family. Unbelievable. I didn't mean to throw you off, but I just struck me.
But he does.
Power
of the call. It's absolutely a miracle. So I just want to pray aloud. Oh dear Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for saving me. I would have been a rotting corpse if you hadn't grabbed me this way. Now, an interesting thing about this is the Saint Edith Stein. She was a Jewish atheist philosopher.
Yeah, we're going to talk about her.
But I'm sure she prayed and that she was part of my conversion.
Oh, probably. I'm sure. Well, your conversion is certainly miraculous and certainly really spiritual for our listeners. And I'm sure they enjoy listening to them because there must be a lot of listeners that are in your... were in your boat. And let me ask you a question, Rhonda. What advice do you have to those listeners that are listening, they haven't completely come to conversion, but are on the voyage of coming to conversion?
Oh, I just want to say, in the 55 years that I've been a Catholic, more than 55 years, there isn't a single moment where I ever thought it was a mistake. It is just an incredible religion. I mean, the biggest thing is you have to realize that if you're not too busy, every day, every day you can receive God right into your body in the Eucharist.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, what could be more amazing and wonderful? So it's a beautiful religion. And the fact that there's sometimes people who betray the religion, well, we all do. We're all sinners. But, I mean, who betray in very spectacular ways. What I like to say is, I didn't notice with this football coach scandal that people stopped watching football because he messed up.
Uh-huh.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have another question, if I may ask, Rhonda. You wrote a book, Taming the Lion Within. And I was just wondering, what was the image of that lion that was being tamed?
Oh, okay. It's about anger. So it's called Taming the Lion Within, 5 Steps from Anger to Peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a book I wrote for this reason. I was always a very angry person, and I thought when I became a Catholic that would all go away, but it didn't. It just changed the scenario. So instead of blaming everyone because of traffic jams, I started blaming everyone for not being more holy. So, I used to have 5 fits a day of anger.
Welcome. I'm the same way.
I hope not. Well, if you are, then you should read
That's
the book.
That's why I'm interested in your book.
Yes, get the book.
I will get the book.
And I never lose. Rhonda, listen, I never lose my temper. Anthony can attest to that.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
always holy every moment.
Oh, yeah, I can attest to that, Rhonda.
I'm sorry.
Well, but besides hot anger, there's also cold anger.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got into this group about the emotions. It's called Recovery International,
sure.
and it was founded in 1940s by a psychiatrist called Abraham Lowe. It has nothing to do with 12-step. It's a different system, but it operates like 12-step. It's self-help groups where people deal with anger, fear, and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into this group 20 years ago, and it changed me from 5 fits to a day to 1 every 2 weeks. That's pretty good.
That's good,
yeah.
So anyway, but I started thinking there are a lot of Catholics who aren't into psychology, and they might not go for this group because it's not religious, even though it's very sound, but it's not religious as such. So I thought I should write a book combining Catholic spirituality with this system.
Good.
And someone suggested the title Taming the Lion Within. So,
good.
But a little bit about cold anger, in case you've already tuned out, because you never yell at people, you don't throw things, etc.
Oh.
Cold anger is just as terrible. You know, cold, if you say to someone, I'll never forgive you and I'll never see you again, never talk to me again, that's extremely sinful. I mean, every day we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So how can any Catholic, or any Christian, for that matter, how can any Christian ever utter the phrase, I can never forgive you?
That's right.
That's damning yourself to hell. But the thing is,
Edith, we're going to have to break in because we have to move on to the saint of the day. And we're going to run out of time. And I hate to be rude, but we do have to do that. I'm sorry.
Of course. No, no, no. I'm happy to give way to Ada Stein. She's a saint. I'm just a big talker.
So
no,
Tony, go
you're
ahead.
Up there. Okay. So, yeah, that's true. We're going to talk about Ada Stein. But Ada Stein, it does mirror our friend Rhonda.
Yes.
In many, many ways. And you'll see. But the thing about Ada Stein is, she was another one of those people that were made saints because of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was World War II where she had a martyrship. So who was this gal, Ada Stein, that reminds us so much of Rhonda? She was born into a Jewish family, as was Rhonda. And she was a brilliant writer and a great influence on the woman of her time, and is had a growing influence in the intellectual and psychological and philosophical circles of today's world. She was an inspiration to all Christians whose heritage is the cross, and her life was offered for her own Jewish people in their suffering and performance. She was born October 12th, 1891, of Jewish parents in Germany. And from her earliest years, she showed a great aptitude for learning. And by the time of the outbreak of World War I, she had studied philosophy at the universities and had become a great philosopher. After the war, she resumed her higher studies in the university and was awarded a doctorate in philosophy. She later became an assistant and a collaborator to Professor Husserl, who was brilliant, and he admired also her brilliant mind. In the midst of all her studies, Edith Stein was searching not only for the truth, but for truth itself, and she found both in the Catholic Church, as Rhonda had done. After reading the autobiography of Saint Teresa of Avila, she was convinced that she would become a Catholic. and so she was baptized on New Year's Day in 1922. After her conversion, Edith spent her days teaching, lecturing, and writing and translating, just as Rhonda is doing now. She soon became known as a celebrated philosopher and author. But her own great longing was for the solitude and contemplation of Carmel, in which she could offer herself to God and for her people. It was not until the Nazis started persecuting the Jews and brought her public activities and her influence in the Catholic world to a sudden close that her Benedictine spiritual director gave his approval to her entering the Carmelite Nuns' cloistered community at Cologne. On October 14, 1933, the following April, Edith received the habit of the Carmel and the religious name of Teresa Benedicta as our cure. And on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 1935, she made her vows. When the Jewish persecution increased in violence and fantastically crude and angry, Sister Teresa Benedicta soon realized the danger that had her presence was to afford the Carmel community. And she asked and received permission to transfer to a foreign monastery. On the night of December 31st, 1938, she secretly crossed the border into Holland, where she was warmly received by the Carmel community. There she wrote her last work, The Science of the Cross. Her own cross was just ahead of her, for the Nazis had invaded neutral Holland, and when the Dutch bishops issued a pastoral letter protesting the deportation of the Jews and the expulsion of the Jewish children from the Catholic school system, the Nazis arrested all Catholics of Jewish extraction in Holland. Edith was taken from the Carmel cluster. In August 1942, she was transported by cattle train to the death camp of Auschwitz. The conditions in that boxcar were so inhuman that many died and went insane. On the fourth day of the trip, she died in the gas chamber at Auschwitz on August 9, 1942. We no longer seek her on earth, but with God, who accepted her sacrifice and will give its fruit to the people for whom she prayed, suffered, and died. In her own words, one can only learn the science of the cross by feeling the cross in one's own person. We can say that the fullest sense of the world, Sister Teresa, was blessed by the cross. Pope John Paul II beatified Sister Teresa on May 1st, 1987, and canonized her on October 11th, 1998. And thus we have another saint out of World War II. And that's the short story of Saint Edith Stein.
You know, the Catholic religion stems from Judaism. It came, all the bases.
What was Jesus?
I know. I felt bad when I heard Rhonda talking about how Irish bullies would attack people for their beliefs. You know, that's just unconscionable. And, you know, for her to have experienced that and get a way out because she's an atheist, just speaks to the bigotry and to the trials that are all over the world, even today.
Absolutely.
And as we look around and we hear so many things that are going on, we wonder, where is God in all of this? And so many of us feel that. Where is he? Why does he permit this? And this weekend, we're going to celebrate Pentecost in our religion.
One of my favorite holidays, by
yes.
the way, Dr. Palmer.
And Jesus, when he went to heaven, he and his Father sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. And look how it touched Rhonda. Look how the Spirit got into her.
Yeah.
And changed her.
And what about St. Edith Stein?
And got in time.
And what about the 12 apostles? They hid, they feared, they denied. And that one day, in that room, when the Holy Spirit went pop, 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 pop on each and every one of them.
Yeah.
They went out and they evangelized the world.
Well, and it's not only back then. It's happened to Trevor. It's happened to you. It's happened to me. It's happened to Rhonda in her life, in the way she walked with God, to the point where she got into how to get rid of anger, how to
Absolutely.
Change. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in all of us. It's our change agent.
Yes.
It's the power of the love of the Father and the Son personified.
And it was a gift.
It's always
a gift from God, and the Holy Spirit carries several gifts. Why don't you mention those gifts that the Holy Spirit
I will.
Carries?
We have our reading for the day on the scripture of Sunday, and it really is it continues right on from Rhonda into Pentecost. Receive the Holy Spirit, John 20, verses 19 to 23. The first gift of the risen Jesus to his apostles is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, right judgment, courage, reverence, fear of the Lord is given to them to proclaim the gospel. And we see the fruits of this gift in our own lives, you and I, Tony and Rhonda, and the life of the church. For 2,000 years, people have come to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior in all parts of the life of the church. And even as we do that, it may lead to persecution, suffering, and even death, which is what we heard about Edith Stein. Right? On the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, we, you, listeners, want to open up our hearts right now to receive the Holy Spirit. In receiving Him, we become strengthened as Rhonda and Edith were, to live the gospel, to live for Jesus and with Jesus. Rhonda talked about receiving the Eucharist daily, to have Jesus as our closest friends, to have Jesus as our surest healer, and to have Jesus as Lord today and forever. You know, I heard a wonderful sermon about Scripture last Sunday by Father Ritchie at St. Mary's. And he talked of Scripture as meeting people like Rhonda and Edith and you and Trevor and I. People whose lives were touched by God. And I love that as a description. So when you open Scripture, you're meeting someone who was touched by God, just like you are.
Absolutely.
I love that. And it's so simple and so personal and so loving. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there. How many times do you play Bible roulette?
Many times.
You know? And you just open Scripture, and there's a way. It's the same as the picture that Rhonda got. It's a calling card.
It's the blueprint of our lives.
Yes, it is.
And it tells us how to lead our lives.
Yes.
But one point I want to mention, John, aren't we so blessed to have a God and a Savior that really loves us and really wants to be close to us and does every and anything to be close to us? And all we need to do is say yes.
That's it.
And He's there.
And what I've learned through the Holy Spirit and my walk with the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not concepts. They're people.
Yeah.
And they're divine people, sure. But they're alive. And they touched Paul, knocked him from the horse, and said, "Why do you persecute me?" And made him blind for a few days.
Oh, I love that story also.
Oh, yeah. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will knock gently, but sometimes it knocks pretty hard. and when you're stubborn like I am, it's got to knock hard.
But it can change the world.
Yes.
It is power. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And if we accept the Holy Spirit also and ask for his gifts and his help, we will get them. I ask for the Holy Spirit many, many times.
Yeah. And I know in our Catholic religion, we're talking about getting rid of our minds and trying to put on, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the mind of God. And that's hard, because it means giving up the fact that I'm right all the time and understanding that God is right, not uh-huh. me. You know, that really is tough for me as a thick-headed Irishman to do that.
I'll say.
Yeah, it is. And once you open, listeners, once you open yourself to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, funny things happen. Rhonda's talked a little bit about it. We weren't able to give her the full time, but that's all right. What happens is that your thoughts start to change about a problem that you're dealing with. And the Spirit comes in and says, now, John, have you ever looked at it this way? Well, no, I never did. You know, I had a son who was schizophrenic, and he died suddenly in the hospital after being hospitalized for 28 years. And I remember going every Sunday to spend 2 or 3 hours with him. And when he died, I was shocked, because the phone call came out of left field. And then I heard inside of me, "Dear friend, this is best for your son." And I hadn't thought of it that way. I just kept on hoping he would be healed and come back to life, and as we know it, I guess, in time. But it wasn't to be for him. And the Spirit also said inside, "Listen, sit down. I promise I will be with you every day for the next 30 days to help you deal with your grief." That's how personal and loving God is.
Right. And this, the Holy Spirit, which is the gift from God to us, is there to help us in all different situations.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit bears gifts also.
Absolutely.
But all we need to do is to open our arms, accept them, and ask for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and he'll come to us.
And
change our minds.
Yeah, and didn't that philosopher once say, I don't even know who it was, maybe Shakespeare, "Oh, so simple.
Yeah.
Just say yes, and the Holy Spirit will be there."
And there's a song that kind of exemplifies that. Once you say yes, even in the tiniest way, the Holy Spirit comes back and sings to your heart. Listen to these words. This is the Spirit talking to you, listeners. Let him in.
A voice came from the cloud. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." "I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am He. And do not be afraid, for I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine." for all who are hopeless. I am the eyes for those who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. It is I who've called you each by name.
Each by name.
Come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you are the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. I am the word that leads. Yes, I am the peace the world just cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now and walk and believe. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. As I have called you each by name, come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine. Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
It is I who've called you each by name.
Each by name.
Come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you.
Beautiful, John. Dr. Rhonda, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I was wondering, as the song was playing, how did that beautiful gift, the Holy Spirit, that our God has given us, affect you?
And
how do you use it? How can you take advantage of it?
I would love to tell you about that.
Okay.
So I came into the church with people who were daily communicants, okay? These people, if they weren't at Mass every day, you knew they were in the hospital. That's how much they loved daily Mass, okay? And I came in a lot through truth, okay? But the way I felt it was that God was far up in heaven, and I had to stand on tiptoe to try to reach him with my beautiful prayers, the prayers of the church, right?
Right, and
okay.
That's a great statement.
However, then someone prayed over me to receive the Holy Spirit in a charismatic way, and immediately, besides getting the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of them that are mentioned in Scripture, like tongues and prophecy and things like that.
Right.
Immediately, I felt God, Jesus, right inside me. I didn't have
Bingo.
To stand on tippy toes. God
right.
was right in me.
And
I was filled with fire.
Yeah.
To teach and to evangelize.
Yeah.
Just like the disciples.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was just a huge difference. But God can come to you in any personal way that is going to strike you, not somebody else. So I had
yes.
an example that came to my mind during the song. My best friend, who is a professor also, he was dying of some terrible disease. Okay. So I thought, maybe he's afraid of death. So I wrote this whole little book called Victory Over Death, proving the immortality of the soul, okay, to give to him as a parting gift. And he read this book. It made no impression on him. So I said, oh, did you like the book? He said, well, I see this much more simply. Now, this is a PhD in literature. He said, but he was a baseball fan. So he said, the way I see it is much more simple, Rhonda. I think if God put me in the game, he's going to bring me home.
Okay.
Good.
See this? So God didn't want to give him a proof. He wanted God, the Holy Spirit gave him an image that would take him through the
there
whole death process.
Wonderful.
Wow.
And now I see this everywhere. I pray and pray that someone would come to faith the way I did, and I give them all these books of mine to get them in.
Uh-huh.
And what convinces, that's why I always say to people, just pray to God and say, God, give me something, some experience, some truth, some image that will convince me that you're real.
And he does.
And it's always different for each person.
Yes.
Absolutely.
See, you can't just have a formula. This is how it is. However, listening to other people talk about how they, what God told them, what the Holy Spirit told them, that gives you the impetus to say that kind of prayer, because you say, gee, this woman is 77 years old. She's full of joy and energy and fire. I'd like to be that way at 77. So I want to pray to find God the way she has him. Right?
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
Jesus.
You're talking to guys who are your contemporary, and we have been through the same kind of stuff you've been through.
And we think just about the same way
we
you
really
think.
Do. We want to do something for someone else before we join the daisies.
Because, you know, God doesn't just bring you by some joyful image, but also through the worst thing that ever happened in your life.
Absolutely.
He's
going to
yes. bring you through. So the worst thing that happened to me is, we had, my husband and I had twins, then we had many miscarriages, and then we had this wonderful son, and he was just a beautiful, beautiful character, and at 19, he decided life was horrible, and he committed suicide. He jumped off. He looked for the most beautiful place in the world, which he found in Big Sur, California, and jumped off this bridge to his death.
And
it was the most dreadful thing that ever happened to us. And we were just in agonies of horror over this thing. And it brought my husband from being a man who he converted when he was 60, but now when he was 72... He had said when he became a Catholic, I don't want to be your kind of Catholic, Rhonda. I'm going to go to Sunday Mass. I'm going to say night prayer. That's it. I don't want to pray with charismatics. I don't want to pray the rosary. I don't want to go to daily Mass. Just let me be my kind of Catholic. Okay.
Right.
But after his son died, it was so catastrophic for him. He was in such agony. He said, the only time I ever feel any hope is it Mass? I'm going to go with you to daily Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And as he went up to communion, he would say, Jesus, cover the naked soul of my son with your body.
Wow.
Is that beautiful?
It is.
It certainly is.
And so we were the closest the last 2 years of my husband's life. We were the closest because we suffered so much together.
Yeah. And Jesus turned the suffering into healing.
Yeah. And yeah. I got this word from the Lord after quite a while of not, you know, having any, being just overwhelmed. I got this word, you will find him in my sacred heart.
Oh,
amen.
Wow. Amen.
Is that
amen.
Wonderful?
Yes.
So it's not just that the Holy Spirit gives us joy and beautiful songs. He gives us help at the time when we are most likely to just give up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, Yolanda, at this point in our program, we say prayers for our listeners and ask them to do just what you've done and Tony and I have done and Trevor's done and so many have done, just to decide to follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to ask for in prayer today. We ask Jesus, put out a call like you did to Rhonda with your face and with your picture. And let each listener be touched by your call, Jesus, now. Touch them. Reach out to them so that in their hearts they can sing along, I have decided to follow Jesus. Because listeners, we say in prayer, following Jesus is the only way to inner peace. Listen to what Rhonda and her husband experienced after the death of their son. Listen to what I experienced after the death of my son. And I've also lost two wives along the way. And I know, Jesus, you are there. You come into our lives. You touch us. And we pray now that people hear your call and are drawn to follow you. Such a simple decision. One word. Yes. Anthony, do you have a prayer you'd like
yes,
to
offer? Yes. Jesus, I want to give you praise and glory and thanks. Thanks for all that you've done. Thanks for all that you do. And yes, and thank you for bringing Rhonda on our show today.
Yes.
And Jesus, we ask that you stay by our sides, the sides of our listeners, and you bless our listeners, and you bless our people that we have that are petitions, and you stay by their sides, and you help them, you guide them, you hold their hands, and you let them know that you are truly not only their big brother, but you are their best friend, and you'll be there for them always, always. But all they need to do is to hold up their hands and say, Jesus, I welcome you, and I love you, and I thank you.
And Rhonda, do you have a prayer that you'd like to offer?
Oh, dear Jesus, you know every sorrow in our hearts. So right now, we ask you to reach into the heart of each person who hears this program today or who hears this program on a website, on the Listen Up website. When they can hit that, click onto that, and listen to this program and all the other beautiful programs that are done on this Catholic outreach. So Jesus, we ask you, let them feel your comfort. Oh, dear Mother Mary, let them understand how you suffered. You who were the least sinful, who weren't sinful at all, how much you suffered holding your dead son in your arms. So whatever it is that not just that we have suffered, but whatever it is that we are afraid of, oh, please, Jesus, bring your magnificent divine touch into those wounds and those fears.
And I hear Jesus in my heart saying, behold, I am here. I am alive on this radio program. I'm going out across these airwaves and touching even those who feel most desolate and saying, come, just turn towards me. Give me 5 seconds and I'll change your life. Give me 10 seconds and I'll rework you in such a way that you won't even recognize yourself. Do what everyone does. Say yes. I decide to follow me, Jesus. I'll take you home. I promise you. I'll take you home. And Trevor, can you put on the last song, which is Come Holy Spirit?
And Jesus, we just want to thank you for allowing us to do this show. And we give you praise and glory and thanks, Jesus. This show is for you. It is
and
your show.
Rhonda, thank you. We're Rhonda, sorry
we love
bounced
you.
Around a bit, but that's the way we go sometimes.
Okay, but I mean, I just want to say, I have free books and audios and all sorts of stuff on my website, including my whole long story and many other things.
What's the website?
Healing of rejection, healing.
We're running out of time.
Here's the website.
www.RhondaChervin, no H in Rhonda, RhondaCherv for Victor, IN for Nancy, @ gmail.com. Just .com. .com. Gmail
okay.
is my email.
.com. Okay. And they're free, you said, huh?
Oh, yeah, there's tons
of...
Oh,
if it's free, it's for me. That's Palmer's motto.
There's
Rhonda,
lots of free stuff on
okay.
it.
Okay, Rhonda, we love you. We thank you. Don't hang up because I want to talk to you. I'm going to be sending you a disc of the show and stuff like that. So I want to talk to you after the show.
And let's let the Holy Spirit take over.
Yes.
Your grace all turns to me.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart.